Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
We're going to continue. We're in a series called Witness. You know, and basically, we call ourselves Christians, but you know what it means to be a Christian? Actually, the Bible says that the disciples were first called Christians. And so what does it mean to disciple? That means that you have the spiritual disciplines that Jesus taught. And because they were following Jesus, they were keeping his way of life. They were looked to him as their teacher, as their master, they even called him. That because they followed Jesus, the disciples were first called Christians. But I think another word for us, rather than just calling us a Christian, what should be another term that really defines us? A witness. Because who is a disciple? He is one who is a witness for Jesus. If we're not following his ways, how can we say we're a disciple of Jesus? Just because you show up in church doesn't make you a disciple. Are you here? We can come to church. There were a lot of people that were in the temple, and there were even people teaching in the temple, and Jesus said they were whitewashed tombs. What keeps us, what's the difference between a follower of Christ and someone has a relationship with him and is a disciple and just a churchgoer? It's intimacy. The minute our heart is not involved in what we're doing and it just becomes religiosity and we all have to watch that, you have to check yourself. Because what you can do, you can have the lamp, but there's no oil in your lamp. The Bible talks about the virgin. There's no oil. Why? Because where does the oil come? Through pursuing him. Through keeping our passion, through keeping our fire on the inside, because he's an all-consuming fire. And the children of Israel, they built the whole camp around that glory fire. And they, when it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And their life was built around that. That's the type and the shadow in the Old Testament of what it means to be a believer, that we're led by the Holy Spirit, that we're building our life around God and everything that we do. And distractions will come, the cares of this world, the pride of life, deceitfulness of riches, all of these things try to come, the lusts of the flesh and the eyes and all those things to distract us, to get our focus off why we are really here. What on earth are we here for? It's to be a witness. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to be a witness. And so the message of Jesus is not something we should keep to ourselves. Jesus said, go tell it. We used to sing that song, I remember, in the Baptist church. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is Lord. Dwayne's getting excited. Come on. And what do we do? We're talking about go and tell it everywhere. We don't have a lot of mountains here. We have hills. But what is it saying? Everywhere we go, we should be telling. So we learned as we started out our series that the gospel is about come and see. And then it's about go and tell. Come and see who God is. Come and see what Jesus has done. Come and see who he is. And then go and tell somebody. Yeah. But the problem is we come and see, oh, God is good all the time. Oh, my gosh, I'm so blessed. He healed me. He set me free. I'm the head and not the tail. Why aren't you telling somebody? Yeah. Don't just come and see. We need to experience God. But go and tell someone. And we've talked about how to be a witness. It's so easy. What do? We learn that we need to just share our story. Amen. Come on, how many of you got a story? Yeah. Share your story of encountering God. Share your story of the goodness of God. Share your story of what life is like to have God in your life. Amen. And we got to live with a focus on the mission. We call it the Great Commission. What on earth are we here for? We have a commission. Jesus commissioned us. It's not the great suggestion. Yeah. I want to please God. How do you please him? It's not just your worship that pleases him. It's fulfilling the Great Commission. Yeah. He gave you a mission. He commissioned you. Yeah. Come on. It's not just doing what we want to do, but it's doing what he wants us to do. And in Matthew 28, verse 18, we see that Jesus said to them, and he says to us, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And what did he say? Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So what does he say? This commission doesn't change. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you to do it even to the end of the age. And come on, we don't want to meet Jesus. And when we meet Jesus, we're like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And Jesus is like, the Great Commission. Okay, I'll start now. It's too late. There'll become a time when it's too late to share. It's too late to win the lost. And so we need to have the urgency now, amen? And what do we need to do? Not only do we need to share our story, do we need to be focused on the mission? Number three, we need to pray, we need to invite, we need to bring. Someone say pray, invite, and bring. Pray and invite people. I'm not just saying invite them to church. Invite them to receive Jesus. Don't expect Pastor Derek, Pastor Susan, or whoever's preaching to do all the work. You pray for them. You invite them into an encounter with Jesus. And then what do? You bring them to meet the family. Now, can they come too and get saved? Yes, but we should have more people getting saved outside of our Sunday experiences than we should in service. Because that's the Bible way. There were more people getting saved. The Bible says day to day, God added to the church. Multiplication happened daily. Where? Because they were meeting from house to house. They were having coffee. They were doing stuff. We don't always invite people to our house nowadays, but come on, we meet them for meals. We go out and have coffee. And those that signed up for the Witness Challenge and you've been getting texts and things and creative ways to be able to do that to help you. To help you what? Focus on the mission. And so we do our big events, and we have these events that are going to be first class. We're investing our finances into it. Why? Not just so we can just have a nice Christmas production and enjoy the little snowflakes. Come on. We already have Jesus. Amen. But it's that others can come and experience him. So we ended off talking about Paul and Silas and how they were focused on the mission. I want to take it a little bit deeper from this story this morning. In the book of Acts chapter 16, are you still here? It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison door was open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul and Silas, with a loud voice, said, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." And as they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house, and he took them that same hour in the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into the house and set food before them and rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Paul and Silas are miraculously freed from prison. And here comes a soldier. Those soldiers were big, tough guys. Come on. If you watch any of the movies, I mean, the Romans were tough guys. They were elite, they were trained, they were soldiers. And here's a soldier who's fearing for his life. He comes in and he falls down and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Even the hardest person out there, friends, it can be open to God. Even the person that we think that they've got it all together, we look at the person that, you know, they're tough and maybe they look a little bit fierce. Come on, God can take the heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh and they just become a big teddy bear. Come on. And that's the story here, that they didn't see their freedom as a means of escape. They saw their freedom as a means to win the lost, as an opportunity to witness. How many of you, God has set you free? Come on, freedom reigns in this place. But our freedom is not just for us to enjoy, it's an opportunity to witness. Come on. And I want to pull some things out of this story, because what were they doing? They were praying. They were singing at the midnight hour. I'm sure, I mean, most of the sounds at midnight in a prison aren't pretty happy, I'm sure. Oh, the floor is so hard. Oh, I wish I was home. Oh, come on, think about it. People crying out, nightmares in the night because they're tormented and their life is over. But what happened? In the midst of everyone listening, there was a sound of praise. There was a sound of freedom. There was a sound of worship. Friends, let me tell you, people are listening to you. They're watching you. What sound is coming from your life? What message are they seeing from your life? There was a strange sound. It was a sound of prayers. It was a sound of worship. There was the presence of God that filled that place. People didn't know Christ, but they knew there were two guys in the prison, Paul and Silas. And as they heard them, as they saw them, they began to see Jesus. Friends, who are the prisoners that you go to work with every day? Who are the prisoners that are in your school? Who are the prisoners that maybe you met for Thanksgiving? Who are the prisoners that you know that they don't even know they're prisoners? But they're walking prisoners, doing life, bound up, and they don't know what freedom is. Because if you've never experienced true freedom, you don't know what it is. You have no point of reference, but we come in contact with them every day, and they're watching us. They're looking for the reality of Jesus. They're looking for a living Jesus. And guess what? They're not going to see Jesus with their natural eyes because he's at the right hand of the Father. Now, one day he'll split the sky on a white horse he'll be riding. He'll come with boots of bronze to judge the heavens and the earth. But we don't see him with our natural eye. Who do they see? They see you. They see me. I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask them, do you see Jesus? And the problem with many Christians is that we say one thing, but we live a completely different way. We can be a witness with our mouth, but if our lives are not an example of Jesus, people aren't going to listen to what we say, our lip service. They're going to listen to how our life, and sometimes our life action speaks louder than words. Are you here? Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, I put it up for you. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Unless it's Jesus, tell him we're busy, all right? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul's actions in his life, they still echo. We're hearing about him today. We're talking thousands of years later about Paul's actions. Because his actions spoke louder than words. People thought he was a murderer of Christians. He said, no, I'm not. And they didn't really believe him. But because of his actions, because of his intimacy with God, they began to realize this is a true believer. And he was recognized as an apostle. Are you here? He had true leadership. And so we need to be an example. Someone say an example. People are watching us all the time, whether we know they are or not. People are listening to us all the time, especially if they know that we're a Christian. Have you ever realized people can do stuff and nobody says anything? But when you do something, they say, I thought you were a Christian. When someone who claims to be a Christian in politics, oh, I thought they said they were a Christian. Well, I thought they did. Because why? They know there's a higher standard. And unfortunately, we haven't always lived up to that standard. Thank God for his grace. But come on, we need our actions and our testimony to line up with our message. Are you here? Five areas that Jesus instructs us to be an example like him. As we desire to be a witness, how can we be a witness in these five areas? Number one, be an example in servanthood. Someone say servanthood. The Bible says in John 13, verse 12, we all know the story when Jesus had finished washing their feet. He put on his clothes and returned to his place and said, do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and I rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. What was he saying? Follow my example. I've set an example that you should do as I've done for you. For very truly I say, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. We all know the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and you washed your feet before you entered a house. You washed your feet before you had dinner. But Jesus does this at the end of the dinner. It was something different. He was trying to tell them, you should go the extra mile in serving. Go beyond what is expected of you. Serve one another. Come on, what did you feel like doing after Thanksgiving dinner? Come on, it's time for some couch ministry. Come on, can I get a witness? Yeah. But guess what? We got to do some dishes. We got to put some leftovers away. We got to do some, nobody gets excited about that. But are we willing to serve? Even if we're a guest in people's home, are we willing to serve? Are we willing to help out? Are we willing to do that? And that's what I love. We had people over our house, and we had Pastor Troy and Pastor Anwin, but they're rolling up their sleeves and helping. They're involved in doing. It's not that we go to their house. We do the same thing. Why? We all serve one another. We're all there to be a blessing. Are you here? We're all there to contribute. Come on. I say, I cook and you clean. Amen. But I cook. And we take turns to serve one another. That's the example. It's better to serve than to be served. But are we serving to be seen? Well, I want to serve. I want to serve. Why? Because we want the microphone. We want to be seen. I want to volunteer because everybody's going to see it on the video. I'm not saying, I'm just talking generally. But what's our motivation in serving? Is it to be seen by others? Sophia's inviting all her friends, but she didn't even know this was happening. It's not so, well, I want to get the prize. Everyone thinks I'm super spiritual. I'm getting evangelist of the year next Thanksgiving. Is that our motivation, or is it because we love God? Amen. Serving someone strengthens your relationship with them. Serving someone builds credibility with them as well, that you care, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. How do they know you care? Because you serve. Yes. Are you here? We got to create relationships that we can share the gospel with people by serving them. How do we serve them? Well, find out what they need. Sometimes people want to serve me and do stuff for me, but it's like, I didn't need that. I didn't ask for that. You're not really serving because you didn't really know what I needed. You did what you wanted to do. And that's nice sometimes, but that's not really serving. When you know the heart of someone, you serve them because you know what's in their heart. How do you know what's in the heart? By spending time together. Are you here? Serving is the heart of Jesus. We got to follow that example. With our friends, with our family, with our coworkers. How do we get better relationship? Help them out in their project. Well, that's not my job. I'm not hired to do that. That's not in my JD. You're not a servant. I tell people when we have our, you know, our HR and things, but what's your job? To do whatever Jesus needs you to do. Now, we have our specialties. We have the thing that we're better at, and that's our main thing. But anything that needs to be done, we do it. I came this morning. I saw Samuel. He was sweeping up stuff. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, the birds left us some blessings. That's not his job description. He's not hired to be a janitor. Are you here? But this is the house of God. If something needs to be done, we do it. We serve one another. We help. If I see something that needs to be clean, I clean it. If I see something that's out and I'm at the store, I call Ariana and say, hey, do you need something? I'm at Costco. We serve one another. Yeah. Are you here? But almost not just in the house of God, we should be serving those outside the house of God so that we can be a blessing to them. How do we serve so easy? Buying someone a cup of coffee. Taking note of what they like and just blessing them. Hey, Monday, you go back to work tomorrow. Buy someone an extra cup of coffee. What's this for? Oh, no, I just wanted to bless you. Who does that? Come on, you ask people to buy coffee. I don't know if I have time, you know. I don't have enough hands, you know. Like, make sure you Venmo me now. Are you here? Helping a friend to do some work on their house. Helping, you know, people cooking dinner for a family because they lost a loved one or their, you know, family members out of town. Just thinking of creative ways to show love by serving. We need to be example in serving. Someone say serving.
Serving.
Number two, we need to be an example in suffering. I get no amens on that, not even from my wife this morning. Come on. Got to be an example in suffering. We don't like suffering. We come up with whole doctrines that we don't have to suffer. Come to Jesus. He suffered. You don't have to suffer. Well, tell that to the apostles that were in jail singing. Come on, tell that to the apostles that all were died because of their faith except for one. Come on. Tell that to the Christians where tens of thousands of them were martyred for their faith. Don't tell me that we don't have to suffer. Now, I pray you don't have to suffer like that. But are we willing to suffer? Suffering is part. In our suffering, many times it's not that physical suffering. But what is it? It's sacrifice. It's giving of our time, giving of our talent. Injustice sometimes. The scriptures come true. God will make you the head and not the tail. That's talking about your state of being. But guess what? You have to start out the tail sometimes because the Bible says the last will be first. You were last. But God will bring you to the front of the line. but we don't like suffering. 1 Peter 2, verse 20 says this, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. This is you, this is, to this you were called. Guess what you're called to? Suffering. Oh, I can get no amens on that. Is this the Bible? Is this the book of 1 Derek? Come on, sometimes we wish it was. What does it say? To this you were called, what? To suffering. Because Christ died for you, leaving you is an example that you should follow his steps. Guess what? Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Now, don't be persecuted. There's three types of persecution. There's persecution for lack of knowledge. And you're persecuted because you didn't know something, you made mistakes. There's persecution for the gospel, for righteousness sake. Are you here? And then there's persecution for foolishness sake. You were just foolish. So don't put the first one and three together. I'm talking about for righteousness sake. Are you here? But there will be suffering at times. There will be people that look down on you, and that's the problem. No one wants to talk about Jesus nowadays because when you do, people say have something to say. Look, keep that religion stuff out of here. I'm bringing religion. I'm bringing Jesus. Come on, it's like me, you telling me not to bring my wife to the party. She's a part of my life. Jesus is a part of my life. Me and Jesus stick together, closer than a brother. Come on. Are you here? Can't separate it. I don't keep Jesus at home. Jesus, you got to stay home. We only bring you to church. Holy Spirit, wait in the car. I'll be back later and we can get back to our worship session. But I'm going to Christmas party right now. We don't talk religion there. What kind of craziness is that? It's who we are. It's a part of who we are. It's our testimony. Are you here? And I'm not saying be religious. I'm not saying be pharisaical to people. But come on, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Come on, don't be ashamed of the gospel. If people don't like that or they want to make fun or they want to, you know, I can take it. Are you here? Because Jesus suffered persecution, then we should not be afraid to suffer. Are you here? We'll have times where we suffer. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. How many know bad things happen to good people? Christians still have to wait in line at Black Friday. Our tires still blow out sometimes. People get sick, stuff happens. We wouldn't need a healing ministry if we didn't get sick. Are you here? Why are there the gifts of healings and working of miracles? Because we need them. Are you here? We live in a fallen world. And thank God Jesus is going to come and create a new heaven and a new earth. But bad things happen. So when it happens, don't get mad at God. Come on. I'm going to have a talk with Adam when I get to heaven. Come on. But how many of us have also, even though Christ has died for us, still have given in to sin? So we don't have much to say. Are you here? So be an example. Following Jesus doesn't mean it's going to be good all the time. To live our life for Jesus is being different than the world. Well, I don't fit. I wish I could just have a normal life. This is normal. You just haven't realized it yet. That's abnormal. Living for yourself, living for things, just being self-centered is not normal. That's not how God created us. Normal is living for Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Salvation, Jesus gave his life for us, but guess what? He expects us to give our whole life to him. If you haven't given your whole life to God, you are not saved. Because the Bible says he must be Savior and he must be Lord. We all love the Savior part. Heals us, he healed my soul. Cleanse me, set my feet. I thank the Master, the Savior. I thank God. He's got to be Master. What does Master mean? He's Lord. Amen. What is a Lord? You bow to him. Amen. You know, in the Chinese world, in Chinese, they have this word tao kao, which means to honor, to bow. When the Master walks in, we give it up to Jesus. You don't have an argument with Jesus. If you have an argument with Jesus, he keeps walking. Are you here? Look at the Bible. There's no debate. Christianity and in the kingdom of God, there's a king. It's not a democracy. You don't get to vote. Oh, we got real quiet. We don't like that. Well, I like my freedom. And what do? We use our freedom to invade other people's freedoms. There's no perfect system. Yes, we're free to follow him. He won't make us. But is he Lord? And he's not a hard taskmaster. When you know him, it's okay to make him Lord. Why? Because he loves us. Amen. We can trust him. Yes. He has our best interests at heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That's why I can make him Lord. I don't make everyone Lord. Yeah. Are you here? But are we willing to suffer for him? Suffering is not fun. Yeah. But Jesus called us to be example when we suffer. Yeah. How do we have, what's our attitude when we suffer? Do we grumble and complain? Come on. We call every friend on our contact list, grumbling, complaining, feeling sorry for ourselves. Talk to everybody, but talk to God. Look at everything we don't have rather than what we have. And what is God doing? He's looking at our heart. Children of Israel, they walked around the wilderness. Why? Because they grumbled and complained. And we're not thankful for what they have. How do you get more? Be thankful for what you have. If Jesus didn't do one more thing, if he didn't give you one more dime, he's already done enough. Amen. I said, if Jesus didn't do one more thing, he didn't give you one more dime, he's already done enough. And if we can't say amen to that, we got a problem in our inward plumb line, and there's something wrong in our heart, in our thinking. And that will hinder our Christianity. That will keep us from being a witness. Yeah. It's okay to be different than the world. Your reward is great. Yes, in this life, God will bless us. But what if you didn't get the full blessing here? It's guaranteed in eternity. When something happens bad in your life, don't compromise your faith. Don't turn your back on God. Don't grumble and complain and disrespect what he's done. Keep trusting Jesus, and he'll see you through. I love the example, and we've talked about this, about Daniel. He's about to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And he said, the Lord can deliver, but if he doesn't, I still won't deny him. Amen. He can save, but if he doesn't, I'm still not going to deny him. He can heal, but if he doesn't, I'm still not going to deny him. He can bless me, but if I'm already blessed. That's the heart that we have. And that's the example that is a sign and a wonder. It's a peculiar thing to the world, because that's not how the world lives. Are you here? Be example in suffering. People are listening to you. They're listening to the way you respond. They're looking for the genuineness of your faith. Your connect group, come on, is listening to the way you respond. There's people who just joined church for 6 months. They're listening to you. You've been saved for 5 years. What is your life like? Because they're thinking, what's my life going to be like in 5 years? Yeah. Come on, we've got to be an example in suffering. Amen? And that is a witness for him. It's easy to be happy during the good times. It's easy to be happy when we have everything. It's easy to be happy when there's no debt and we got lots of zeros. When we're healthy and everything's great, it's easy to be happy. But guess what? When you can still be happy and you can abase and abound, and in all things I've learned godliness is in contentment in all things, in whatever state I'm in, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, even in the negative situation, people look at us and say, whoa, what's that person, vitamins are they taking? What is it? What are they doing? I want what they have. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And even when we feel weak, we don't feel it. We're strong. The weak can say they're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Come on. That's a testimony to the world. All of us lost loved ones. All of us went through COVID. But did you keep your joy? You're watching online. Are you still living for God? Some people didn't. They fell off. Statistics say there's people fell off and never came back to church. But let me tell you, they were already on the edge. There was always an issue that's there. And I'm not here, I'm not God, I don't know people's heart, but come on, because guess what? When you're a believer, what happens? Creativity comes. When pressure comes, what's in you comes out. The joy comes out, strength comes out, anointing comes out. Are you here? Because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Be an example in suffering. Number three, be an example in loving. You learning something? Yeah. Simple message, but we can always learn to do better. Amen? Yeah. an example in loving. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. How do you know you're loving? Love is patient. Some of us just stop there. Let's just work on number one. Love is patient. We have a hard time. I struggle with patience too. Come on. Love is kind. Being kind in every situation. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. Gimme, gimme, gimme. What's in it for me? It's not easily angered. What does anger come from? Frustration of unmet expectations. Frustration. Things didn't go the way we wanted. Frustration. People didn't respond the way we want to. It keeps no record of wrongs. Come on, we could all have manuals of wrongs people have done to us every day if you're keeping score. But love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. How do you know you really love God? How do you know you love people? How do you know that you love, you always persevere? Keep loving. Never give up. Come on, it always protects. Someone say always protects.
Always, protects.
Always trusts. Always hopes, always perseveres. And that's why the Bible says love never fails. Look at the example Paul gave us. Jesus calls us to love our neighbors. Here's a guy who just got the get out of jail card. But what does he do? He loves his neighbors and he's there for them. That's love. That's the love the world doesn't have. The love says, well, I love you as long as you're lovable. I love you as long as I feel like it. I love you as long as there's something in it for me. Please don't get married with that kind of mindset of love. But what does the Bible say? Love is that I will love you in the good times, in the bad times, in sickness and health, to cherish, to obey, to submit, as long as we both shall live. That's a covenant. That's not a feeling. That's a commitment. That's a decision. Whether the feelings come or not. I might not like you right now, but I still love you. Are you here? And I'm gonna keep loving you until I like you again. Come on. Come on, what have we learned? Number one, be an example in servanthood. Number two, be example in. Number two, be example in. Number four, be an example in forgiving. It's impossible to be a witness to someone you can't forgive. When we don't forgive, we do the opposite of what God calls us to do. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And one lady that I greatly respect, and I met her many years ago before she was known all around the world, and she came to our church in Singapore, and I drove her and her family in the van, and they were just the most down-to-earth people. She was scolding her son in the back seat and teaching him, and because he wasn't respectful to the team. And, you know, great lady. Her name's Joyce Meyer. And Joyce, you know, she shares her testimony. She deals with heart issues in a powerful way. And she's really a, you know, minister to women, but all the men sneak in because we also got heart issues. But she was abused by her father for years, was hardened as a woman, filled with bitterness, filled with unforgiveness, but she was able to forgive her dad, was able to share the gospel with him. She ended up baptizing him. And she tells her story as if it never happened because of the work that God has done in her. And that's not always the end to every story because it takes the other person being responsive. But what power in forgiveness? What power in forgiveness that Jesus could forgive Peter, who denied him three times. His closest disciple betrayed him three times and said he didn't even know him because he wasn't willing to suffer. But yet Jesus forgave. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. How many of you have been forgiven? every day. So we've got to keep walking in forgiveness. Amen? That's Jesus' example. Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." They said this as the next verse. They divided up his lots, his clothes for lots. He's on the cross, had done nothing wrong, dying the death of a murderer. I mean, all of the things they did to him, spit on him, put a crown of thorns on him, put a spear through his side, whipped him with the cat's, whatever it's called, you know, cat's tail, and the glass would put into his body and pull out and rip out the flesh. I mean, he was treated like an animal. And he has all power to just say Gabriel, to call out a name, Father, and judgment would have come on the world. Because he had all power and authority. But what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nothing anybody can do to us compares to that. But we got to forgive. Now, I'm not saying that forgiveness is just forgetting and everything goes back to normal. Come on. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't go to the Pharisees. He went to his people. Come on. He didn't go to the ones who crucified him. Are you here? You got to have some boundaries there because people need to get healthy. You can forgive them. They got to work that out. So I'm not saying, you know, we let the wolf back into the house. But in our heart, we hold no judgment against them. Forgiveness is more for us than it is for them. Forgiveness doesn't just set them free. It sets us free, and it releases judgment to God. And when we look at, because we have a hard time forgiving, well, I can't forgive because it was injustice. And how could Joyce Meyer do something like that? Because when she forgave and released him to God, God dealt in his heart. And he fell on his face before God at some point and said, "Forgive me. I'm an unclean man. My life is a mess." And just like God has changed us, he can change others. Even if we don't think there's hope for them, God never gives up. Are you here? So we've got to walk and be an example in forgiving. Number four, we've got to be an example in living. Someone say living. You learning something this morning? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this: "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person." This is a pretty strong passage. To say we know him or we're a follower of Jesus, but not keep his commandments. The Bible says we're not walking in truth. Because if we made him Lord, he's Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we don't make mistakes at times. We don't fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. Thank God for his grace, but we get back on the horse. We get back up. We're not living a life of rebellion or a life of sin. Are you here? With this passage, it boils down to this: if you don't have a desire to know God, how do you know God? Through his word, through the Bible. How do you know Jesus? By reading his word and beginning to have the Holy Spirit reveal who he is to you as Savior, as Lord. And then what, you come into a relationship where you worship him in spirit and truth, and there's a spiritual relationship. But so many people say they got the spiritual relationship with Jesus that's against and contrary to the word. That's not truth. Because guess what? You can feel anything. Well, I feel the Lord is speaking to me. No, it's just your emotion. You're putting words in God's mouth. That's not your husband. He's married to another woman. That was not the Lord. Come on. God never contradicts his word. If we're an example of living, what happened? We have to know God's word and love his word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. When you communicate God's word, what does it do? It helps you to communicate like Jesus does. It helps us to deal with our enemies like Jesus does, which is what? Loving them. It helps us to develop others like Jesus. And we can look at Jesus. Sometimes Jesus was frustrated and say, "How long must I be with you?" That's encouraging to every pastor sometimes. Amen. It's encouraging to every wife. It's encouraging to every parent. Are you here? We're able to develop others like he did. We're able to encourage people like Jesus did. Where Peter, he says, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And Peter becomes the head of the church because God's a God of different second chances. When we know God's word, what happened? We're able to do ministry like Jesus does it. Some people aren't doing ministry according to the Bible. They don't follow the structure of the Bible. They don't. They're not planted in a house. They're out there doing their own thing. Well, I have a ministry from the Lord. Well, who's your pastor? Jesus. No, he's not the pastor. He's the head of the church. He put pastors in the church. Well, I got this ministry, and you're always under spiritual attack because you got no covering. Come on, we all need a house to come in and bathe and have shelter. That's how God set it up. But we get out of the word of way doing things and we wonder why we're not fruitful in ministry. I can't submit to any pastor. Well, that means you can't submit to Jesus. He put apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers in the church to edify. And even a pastor needs a pastor. I'm a pastor, apostolic gift, but I have an apostle over me, two of them. Are you here? Because that's the Bible. Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things are established. If you ain't got nobody to give you a witness, you can get out in error. Yeah. We've seen it historically. Yeah. People up there thinking they're Elijah, come back in the flesh. No, somebody needed to sit you down and say, you are off. That was pizza. That was not the Holy Spirit. Don't be saying that behind the pulpit. Yeah. We had someone one time come behind the pulpit and you know, told the church, I'm married to the Holy Spirit. I told my wife, I'm married to the Holy Spirit first, and then I'm married to you. And I respected my pastor. He got up there and said, you are married to a woman. You are not married to the Holy Spirit. Are you here? Yeah. You have one wife. Yeah. There's no contradiction here. But what is that saying? The ministry comes before my relationship. That's wrong. And that will cause definite marriage problems. Are you here? Yeah. And it did. Yeah. But we have to fix things because that's not the word. When we have the word, we do ministry like Jesus does. We pray like Jesus does. We teach like Jesus does. If it's not in the Bible, throw it out. No matter who says it. Are you here? That's why in this church, we give you lots of scriptures. Amen. Not one scripture and 10 poems. You're going to probably get at least 10 scriptures every week. Why? Because the power is not in us and our human eloquence. It's in the word of God that is unchanging. And the word and the spirit agree. Are you here? Amen. So get in the word. Every week, the word's being taught at the pulpit, but it's not enough just to get your spiritual food on Sunday. It's not enough just to get it on Tuesday or on Friday, you know? You got to eat daily. Get into the word. Learn to feed yourself. Amen? That's why we are such a church that wants to promote the word. And so what do? We have connect groups where we teach the word. We discuss. We have Bible study classes. We have men's events, women's events, so we can specialize the word and what God says about men and what God says about women. We have conferences that we have. We have City Harvest Training Center where you can get grounded in the word and grow. Are you here? And know your doctrine. We can't do that just in 52 hours a year. Are you here? So as you look in these five areas, are you an example in suffering? Are you an example in loving? Are you an example in forgiving? Are you an example in living? I start out and I said, there's prisoners that are not free, that are looking at our life, looking how we live in these areas, how we serve, how do we deal during bad times and difficult times? How do we walk and how do we love like Christ loved? How are we forgiving or treat people when they do us wrongly? How are we living that our life is a living testimony? How do you see if a person's really sold out for Jesus? It's not that they can shout the house down. It's not that they have a great gift and they can prophesy or they're gifted. That has nothing to do with us. That has to do with God. But what is it? It's the life that we live. The prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas. Who's listening to you? And what are they hearing? Who's watching you? And what testimony are you bearing? Are you here? If we see a person sold out for Jesus, it's not just someone who comes to church on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, how are we living? What's the focus of our life? What's the testimony that we have? Are you here? The Lord has called us to do something wonderful with our life. It's to be a witness. God strategically put you and I and around different people in different situations, in different places, in different environments, so that you can be a light for the gospel. Can I get a witness? Come on, that's what God is saying. Can I get a witness? But let me ask you, are you influencing those that are around you, or are they influencing you? What is a witness? It's an influence. Who's influencing who? Unless an outside force comes in and begins to bring influence, we don't have movement. We don't have change. That's called inertia, I think. But are you that outside force? Come on, let's be a witness, not with just the way we talk, but with the way we walk, with how we live our lives. Because people are watching, people are listening. They may not say anything, but they're watching, they're listening. And recently I had my colleague come to church and brought her husband, and they've come and been coming for a while and getting into a connect group. But why? Because they watched the way I live. And I wasn't there. They said, I respect you because you're not there, you know, preaching and condemning people and making people feel dirty and that they're not good enough. No. But the way I carry myself, the way I respect people, the way I talk to other people, the way I run my team, the way I helped with a transaction and come with faith when the whole thing's falling apart and still believe God and got it to the other side. And the heart started drawing back. And this person said, you know, I thought I need to get back in church. God was pulling on my heart. And when I thought of a church, I thought, I'm going to go to his church because of the testimony. I'm not saying that to blow myself up, but that's how it happens, friends. Preach the gospel and use words when necessary. There's a time for words. But sometimes people are listening, not just when we're preaching, they're listening when we're living our life. They're watching when we, the way that we lived our life. Come on, let's be a living testimony for Jesus Christ. Come on, let's go out. And those that God's put around you, come on, we got 3 weeks left. This is a test for us. This is a test for you. Don't let's just have three or four Sophias that bring 150 people. We can fill up a whole service with that. But come, let's each one reach one. Someone say, each one. Reach one. How do you do that? Just every one person you come in contact with, begin to share the love of God with them. We go and eat and we talk to the waitress. We go in the grocery store and we talk to the lady behind the thing. We went for, you know, Samuel went for a checkup and got his knee checked up, and you know, he had surgery and invited the doctor to come. He's coming with his friend in the whole office. We're in a doctor's appointment, paying them to, and we, it's so easy, just bring the flyer. Hey, show the flyer. The guy said, are you, that's you. Yeah, it's me, come. Okay. Gave number down, made it so it wasn't, you know, we're trying to get the doctor and call him after hours. But guess what? 3 days later, get a call back. I'm coming, and actually have some other family friends coming in town too. Can you get tickets for them also? Yeah. Come on, the harvest is plentiful. But what is God saying? Can I get a witness? Come on, let's be a witness. Let's be a witness. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Amen. Come on, how many of you are ready to be a witness? Amen. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, let's continue to pray. Come on, who are you believing God for? Just continue to pray. Lift up that the neighbors, the colleagues, the friends, the relatives that are in town. God, we pray, God, even as we go today, maybe we say, well, I don't know a lot of people. God, when we go today to the grocery store, when we go today to the restaurant, when we go and we fill up our gas and we talk to the same attendant, God, we pray, God, let us be winsome people. People are listening. They're watching, God, like Paul and Silas. God, let us say, follow me as I follow Christ. Let us follow their example. Jesus, let us follow your example in all that we do. That as we come, God, we would live our life, God, serving others. We'd be an example in serving. We'd be an example, God, that even in the difficult times, God, we keep our joy. In the difficult times, God, you're there with us. We're not alone, but you are our comforter. God, let us be an example in loving. Let us be an example in forgiving. God, let us be an example, God, in living, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Kiriyara barara bashata bahara.